Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Gimel, the third Perek. Up until now, we have described the calamities that have befallen Iyov, despite his seeming righteousness. Perek Gimel opens up with Iyov's view of Hashkacha, of God's involvement in the world, and his view on why he is suffering. Now, before we begin, let's understand there are really two approaches to Iyov at this point. Three approaches to Iyov at this point. The one is that, and we spoke about the Ralbag previously, that Iyov was never a believer up until now. This has actually been Iyov's approach all along, and just that the suffering has brought out this dark side of Iyov and brought it into expression. This would line up nicely with the way that, or at least sensibly, with the way that the Satan speaks of Iyov, where Iyov turns to Hashem and says, yes, but Iyov is not as great as you think he is, because if you make him suffer, you'll see the true Iyov. And maybe this is the true Iyov. Another reading of Iyov is that this is what happens as a result of suffering. Meaning, even though Iyov was a true believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu up until now, he is going through something which is so inexplicably difficult and unbelievable that this is his response. And the third explanation, which is the explanation of the Malbim, is that even Iyov, he is so righteous that even he doesn't really believe the things that he's saying. He's just trying to figure out how to understand God in a more thorough way, even though his emuna is actually whole, perfect, and untainted. Given these three opinions, it behooves us to also remember that there is an opinion in the Gemara that Iyov lo haya velo nivra, that there was never a person named Iyov, ela lemashal haya, but rather two readings, either ela mashal haya, he himself is a mashal. This whole story is a parable. No human being has suffered quite like Iyov has, and it is impossible for a human being to go through what Iyov has. Or ela lemashal haya, but Iyov did live, but his experiences were in order to teach us and to for us to read about his, not just his experiences, but his processing of those experiences and glean from them and come to understand God. The Rambam interestingly points out that whether Iyov lived or not is rather irrelevant, because we need to look at the book of Iyov not as a book of a human being in suffering, but a book about Jewish philosophy, as we said at the beginning. In fact, the fact that the Sefer tells us Iyov lived in a land called Utz, the Rambam understands those words from the words Utzu Eitza, from the word Eitza, advice or knowledge. This is the land of ponderings, if you will. And so the ponderings of Iyov are going to take us on a journey of trying to understand the question of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. And once again, I ask you all to recall that these are going to be answers of the head, but certainly not answers of the heart, because we can't really truly say it's irrelevant if a person suffered or not, because we can learn life lessons from them. And that certainly does not sit well with the heart. But we will come to that later on in the Sefer. The Perek opens up with V'achare ken patach Iyov es pihu v'yikalel et yomo. Iyov curses the day that he is born. And the fact that his cursing of the days of that he is born is going to be for him an answer to the question of why he is suffering is very important. According to the Rishonim, Iyov believes in mazal. He believes in astrology. The Ramban speaks out how really the way that Iyov looks at the world is that the reason why things happen is because that's the way that the stars decided for it to happen. And therefore, the reason why he is suffering is because he happened to be born under a specific star and under a specific mazal, and that's what caused him to suffer. As he says in Pasuk Gimel, Yovad Yom Ivaled Bo, the day I was born should be lost. I don't want anyone to have to be born on this day because it's such a terrible day. V'halayla omar hora gaver. And on the day in which a woman was impregnated, I don't want that day to exist. It should be a day which is filled with darkness and terribleness, because it is the reason why I happen to be suffering. In fact, it's not just the day that I was conceived that I curse, but I also curse the day in which I was born into the world. He says, ki ipasuk yod, he says, ki lo sagard la te bitni. I wish that the doors of my mother's womb had closed in labor. The yiskar amal me'anai, and I would not never have been born, and I wouldn't have to go through the suffering. Lama lo mirechem amut? Or why didn't I die in the uterus? Mi beten yatzati, why did I have to come out? Or maybe I could have come out of my mother's womb, the egva, and I died then. We know at those times that childbirth was not taken for granted. And just because a baby was conceived, it doesn't mean it was going to be born. You'll be saying, the chances that I was to be safely, healthily conceived and then safely, healthily born into the world are two things that seem to be totally unnecessary. Why couldn't it be that my mazal was slightly different and those days never happened? And if I did have to be born, then Pasuk Yud Beis, Madua Kidmuni Birkayim, why was I welcomed onto the knees of the midwife? Umashadayim Ki Inak, sometimes women didn't have enough milk. This was before there was formula. And if a woman doesn't have enough breast milk and she can't afford a wet nurse, that baby would die of hunger. And he says, I wish I could die. I wish I could not be alive. I wish I didn't have to go through this incredible suffering. And the reason why I'm doing it is because of this terrible, bitter mazal, which has befallen me and which I now will have to go through the rest of my life with. He says, lo, the pasuk chavav, lo shalvati velo shakatiti velo nachti, v'yavo roges. He says, I did nothing wrong. I didn't sin, I didn't curse, and yet I'm having this terrible suffering that's coming to me. Now, the Rambam in Mori Nevuchim, Maimonides, understands that Eov is pashut wrong. In fact, according to the Rambam, these three friends come to visit. In other words, we're going to be confronted with four different answers to Tzadik Varalo. There's Eov's answer, there's each of the three friends, that's four, and then we have later on a fourth friend miraculously shows up named Elihu, and we'll deal with him later. But primarily there are four answers according to the Rambam of Tzadik Varalo. Firstly, the Rambam points out that there are five answers to Tzadik Varalo. The fifth answer is, well, God doesn't exist. But that is not dealt with in Sefer Eov. Sefer Eov, every single one of these friends are believers to a certain extent. Just how they understand God's relationship with the world and how they understand suffering is different. According to the Rambam, there is only one right answer. And that's going to be his first friend, Eliphaz. But therefore, the Rambam sees Eov as being entirely false and wrong and incorrect. He compares Eov to the opinion of Aristotle. Aristotle, who believes that there is a God and God created the world, but then God abandoned that world and let it run its own course, the watchmaker theory. And Eov is the parallel of Aristotle, according to the Rambam, and therefore he is wrong, he is false, and there is absolutely no validity to his worldview that the world is run on mikra, on circumstance and random occurrences, and there is no rhyme or reason for how it is run because God is not actively involved. The Ramban, Nachmanides, being a Mekubal and being far more comfortable with ideas of Kabbalistic thought and spirituality and mysticism, actually doesn't necessarily totally disagree with the worldview of Eov. In that, the Ramban in the books of the Torah in various different places, in the Chumash, he speaks about how Mazal is a real thing. Mazal, the stars, certain astrological realities taking effect on the world and affecting the world is, according to the Ramban, part and parcel with what it means to be a believing Jew. Yet that's not the only reason why things happen. And according to the Ramban, as we go through these friends, each friend brings a little particle, a little piece of truth. But really, according to the Ramban, the real answer for Tzadik Varalo will not be discovered until right at the end, when his fourth friend Elihu steps in to answer. He will give us a satisfactory answer to Tzadik Varalo, an answer which, like Nachmanides sees the entire world, is going to be deeply Kabbalistic and based on that which is metaphysical. But that, according to the Ramban, is going to be the correct answer to Tzadik Varalo. So, like I said, this is going to be a multifaceted journey of analysis. Either we can look at Eov's approach to the world and to his life and to his suffering as entirely, utterly random, pointless, mikra, meaningless, Aristotle, and false and ridiculous. Or we can say, well, Eov is right in that there is some sort of astrological reality at play, but he's wrong in pointing to all of that for his suffering, because it can't be that just simply because of astrology, Hashem would allow such a terrible thing to happen to him. One of the places where we see these multiple opinions come to the fore, and specifically in Parshanot, in the reading of the text, is in Pasuk Chet. Pasuk Chet describes how Iyov is cursing the day that he's born, and he says, "Yikvuhu orere yom," those who are curses of the day should curse the day that I was conceived or the day that I was born. Ha'atidim orer leviatan, which is an interesting three words which are very difficult to translate. Atidim, in the future, will awaken their accompaniment, which the way that the Mitzvah simply understands it is that there were these accompaniers. The word Levi means to accompany, who would be the ones who would curse out, who would scream and yell at a funeral. And they should accompany this day that I was born. It's such a terrible day that those who yell, who cry, who make mourning should mourn on this day. The way that the Malbim understands it, however, is that the word orer, not from the word to awaken, but the word ariri, which means childless. And the word leviatan does not mean to accompany in the sense that the day is being accompanied by mourners, but rather those who go together, who join together, who accompany each other, should be childless. In other words, the day is so cursed that it should be that anybody who mates, who comes together on this day, will never have children on this day, because no human being should have to be born on such a cursed day. But Rav Schwab points out that the word Leviathan sounds like somebody, a creature, that's going to come into play at the end of the book of Iyov, the Leviathan. The Leviathan, the Behemah, and the Leviathan are two creatures which come up in Iyov, Perek Mem Aleph, who are going to be involved in the end of days. There's Gemaras that speak about how it's the skin of the Leviathan that's going to form the sukkah of the tzaddikim in the future. And it's as if Iyov is saying that, and I'll read the words of Rav Schwab because they're so powerful. He says that when Iyov first begins his speech, he curses the day that he was born, and he cries and says it would arouse the Leviathan. He cries out in agony, "May the night I was conceived be cursed by those evil-minded men who will one day bring the destruction upon the world by arousing the Leviathan." There Iyov foresaw that there would come a time when evil men would wake up the Leviathan and cause the destruction of the entire world, which maybe unknowingly is telling us that Iyov is understanding that even though he doesn't see himself as worthy of destruction, he doesn't see himself as wicked, he does see that the world is full of wickedness, and wickedness is something that must be addressed. And the not just the question of Tzadik v'ra'lo needs to be addressed, but also the question of Rasha v'tovlo, and how is it that wicked people are prospering in this world. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachyomi Chavruta, in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael v'Rachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. He left life, his life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.